previously on the Wilson Rush podcast.
But blame Hernandez's downfall totally on Urban. I don't think you can do that. I think before Hernandez got to Florida that he was a thug.
I think it's more of a bad one. It's been shown that Coach Bryant is real hard. It's very hard to work with. And then the coaching situation, you fired one coach at the beginning of the season last year. And then you say, then the speculation that you're going to get Phil Jackson. And then instead of getting him at the last minute, you get Dan Tony, which who I think is the most overrated coach. And then the NBA.
I think when you're in a major market like New York, Los Angeles, you are under the microscope even more. I think you're magnified even more. Whatever you do is magnified that much more.
Talk about the lights being too bright in LA. Here's the thing about the NBA nowadays. If you're a superstar and you're chasing a ring and you're supposedly the best at your position, I gotta be honest with you. I don't think it matters where you go. That pressure is still going to be on you to win.
DJ Clips, Rev City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with
yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. Lovely Saturday. We got C. Rush and T. Will back in the building. Usual suspects. C. Rush, what's going on, man?
Enjoying this beautiful Saturday, eating these peanuts from the circus.
Hey, I'm glad you liked it, man. I heard them African lions, they do some really good tricks, man. I really did. Yeah, I really heard that. Hey, T. Will, what's going on in the D on this beautiful Saturday, man? Is it beautiful there? I don't even know. I'm saying that.
Oh, absolutely, man. Great weather going on right now. Got up this morning, got some great work in with my team, man, and just dialed in, man, right now for this episode of the podcast.
Yeah, it should definitely be a good one here. We gonna give a letter grade to the Pistons off season now that basically it's all shaped out. The draft is over and July 10th has passed. And you know, we also gonna talk about if Bynum is healthy. How good can those Cleveland Cavaliers be if he's healthy? And do we like that extension that Matthew Stafford received? We'll go around and, you know, talk about that. But first off, we're going to start with the executives in professional sports. There's been two executives from the Broncos that received DUIs in the recent past here. So we'll start with you, C. Rush. Do you think executives should be held to the same standard as professional athletes?
Personally, I believe they should be held higher. They are the guys who write the checks, who do everything for the organization, so they should set the example for the organization. You know, if my coach is getting a DUI, then, you know, hey, maybe it's okay to get a DUI. He gets a slap on the wrist. It's just it's a groupthink type thing, you know. Just if your parent does something growing up, chances are you're gonna do something, you know. And not to say that it's a parent like type thing, but it the same correlation can be made. You know, a couple years ago we had a Detroit Lions assistant coach drive through a drive through naked, and he got a 2-game suspension. Wasn't on ESPN, wasn't on anything. Let that have been Matthew Stafford. Let that have been Ndamukong Suh driving through a drive through naked, drunk. You know, it would have been all over the news. So I believe that they try to keep it up under the rug because they control that.
Okay, hold on. I missed that one. Hold up. Who?
Yeah.
Somebody drove through the draft through naked?
Naked and drunk.
Naked and drunk. Wendy's drive through in Allen Park.
Were they stopped by the police or just did Wendy's come after them and say, hey?
He was he was so drunk that I believe it stopped inside of the, he was in a drive through still, and they found him. He was naked. So I guess they called the cops. So.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You know, that's a good example. Like you didn't even hear about it. I know you're up dealing with sports, so they're trying to sweep this under the rug. So I believe that because they control what comes out, I'm sure it's a lot of stuff that goes on in organizations that we don't hear about, but you know, they should be held to the same standards, if not higher, because they are the ones writing the checks. They are the ones scouting. They're not the ones out there that can get cut tomorrow, you know? So Goodell, I'm not sure if he has the power to do it because they're not in the player union or whatever, but or any sport for that matter. They should be held to a higher regard, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. They should be held to a higher stand. But here's my thing about DUIs in general in the NFL, C-Rush, is that I don't know if this goes out to the executives, but my guess would be it does. The NFL has a discreet company that will come pick you up 24/7 if you are drunk. So when you see these NFL players getting busted for DUIs, is it just because they want to ride in their cars because they're on 24s, they're too proud to call this company? What is it, C-Rush?
They wanna floss in their own cars for the most part. That's probably it. You know, you do have some players who have an entourage around them, or they have a guy to say, hey, you're gonna drive this car for me, I'm gonna pay you $30,000 a year, and this is what you're gonna do. Those are the smart players. You believe me, there's players in the NFL getting drunk tonight, but it's gonna be ones that may get arrested. It'll be the smart ones who don't. Yeah, and it is a number, the same number that the players have, I'm sure the executives have, because they're the ones that gave them the number. So it falls on, for one, you shouldn't be drinking and driving as it is, but if you're going to drink smart, because you're under a microscope as it is. So if I'm a player, I'm going to take every precaution. And just because I'm an executive doesn't mean I'm immune to getting caught or getting fined or getting suspended, you know, but the executives do get a slap on the wrist. The players get chastised in such a way that's possible. Gronkowski hasn't even, I mean, he was never charged with DUI. All he does is he likes to drink beer. But, you know, it's all over ESPN because he's drinking beer. So.
Okay, absolutely. I mean, it's a tough one, man. But like you said, I mean, you shouldn't be drinking and driving anyway. But when you have that extra perk that you can call somebody 24/7 to come scoop you up, that's a heck of a perk. So, T. Will, we'll ask you, I mean, should they be held to the same standard, higher, lower, or you just don't even care?
Well, to touch on the Detroit Lions coach, his name was Joe Cullen. He was a defensive line coach under the Rod Marinelli regime. He was caught going through the Wendy's drive-through naked and drunk. And a week later, he got caught. He got stopped again. Got another DUI. So that's who Shane was referring to. But just as far as the executive thing goes, I think executives and athletes, professional athletes that we're speaking on, they're held to a standard, but I just think that they both have short leashes in their own way, you know, but at the same time, I think the executives are more expendable. You know, the players, they bring in the money, you know, they fill the seats and they're extended a little bit more rope. But at the same time, the players, they have to produce on the field or they'll be gone. You know, one bad game in the NFL or on the court, you know, specifically in the NFL, because, you know, that contract isn't guaranteed. So one bad game, two bad games, you could be cut looking for a job. So, I mean, they have a short leash too, but at the same time, with these executives, I think as an executive in an organization, you should be heard within your organization, but you should not be seen. You know, we may know who the general manager for a professional franchise or professional team is, and that's fine, or a team president, but we should know the other guys behind the scene that may be making, you know, six figures that we don't see on TV and things like that. They shouldn't be in the news. They should not be in the news. So those guys, they should be heard within their organization, but not seen.
Right. I mean, that's why I asked you this question, T. Will. I mean, if it's obviously John Elway, you know, anytime you see a John Elway story, you're going to look when you hear a certain name. But when you see a name that you don't know, do you even care?
Well, it kind of raises a little suspicion to me, and I really think about it like, man, you know, I don't know this person, this title that he may have within the organization. I may not even know what it is, but for him to make headlines and to put his organization or franchise in that negative light, fine. I mean, that's rough, and you know, for those kind of guys, you know, boom, you're gone. You know, you're probably there at will at that point. So an organization can get rid of them today. Someone else can pick up their contract or prorate their money and finish it out for the rest of the year tomorrow. So, you know, it's a cutthroat business, and there's 50 to 100 to, you know, maybe 1,000 people that may want your job and apply for it. So when you're an executive and you're in a high position, things like that, you have to think before you act.
No, I agree with you 100%. You really do. But if John Elway didn't fire the first guy that did this, and then the second guy does it, and he fires this guy, I think that maybe open up a lawsuit situation. So, see, Rush, I'll throw this back to you. Do you think John Elway, now that he has had two executives have DUIs, do you think he's throwing some kind of seminar, or do you think he's like, okay, guys, you guys got to go?
Depends on how loyal. He is to his workers. You know, everybody deserves a second chance, but it's like if Jim just got caught drunk driving and then Bob just do drunk driving again, it's like, man, could y'all find somebody to take y'all home? So I don't think he's going to come down with an iron fist, but I believe that it's going to be changes made to whereas this will be nipped in the bud and this won't happen again. Because like I said, this is the reported stuff. It's a lot of stuff that we don't hear about. You know, it's a lot of unreported stuff, and they can control what comes out the organization, you know, and this happened to leak out. You know, it's not a famous, like T. Will said, this is not, or in, as you said as well, this is not John Elway getting arrested. This is a worker of his, you know. This had to be leaked out by somebody. You know, they can keep it hush hush if they want to. So I think that he'll just talk to him, and we'll be forgetting about this by the end of the week.
Yeah. T-Will, you got something?
Fine. Yeah, I wanted to add this before we move on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You spoke on it. You hit the nail right on the head. You spoke on a separate entity outside of that professional organization that you can call, you know, and things like that. Well, I worked for – I'm not going to say which organization, but a professional organization. I worked some camps for them. And as an employee of that organization, you know, I was representing them. And they let me know that. And also, this third-party entity does exist, you know, and it was strict and direct instructions that we have to call them before we call anyone else. So you are correct. That does exist.
So that's why when I see, for one, DUIs, like I said, I think it's a mistake that people make, and I really do, and I'm not condoning it. But when I see an NFL player get it, guys, I go like, what the heck are you thinking? You must want to ride home when you're 24s or whatever it may be. Call someone, get home safely. But this issue that I have with this, fellas, is I'll be honest with you. For some reason, the world and some people in society thinks that professional athletes are automatically role models. And I think that's our first problem right there. We automatically think these guys are supposed to be role models. And the fact of the matter is, they're just doing what they love to do, and they may not be good role models. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people would say Metal World Peace isn't a good role model. Some people say a lot of guys are not good role models. But when we see a news clip and we go, oh, I'm shocked at this professional athlete, people, it hurts when I hear that, because it's like, why is it shocking you? Do you know this person personally? No, but he averages a double-double. What does that have to do with anything? So I just don't understand. And I think that, like T. Will said, I agree with both of you guys here. They are under microscopes, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily good people, a good role models for society. T. Will, would you agree with that or what?
Fine, I agree with the 100%. I mean, I couldn't agree with you anymore. I think the way it's set up right now, fine. The owners and general managers and team presidents, they understand what they have invested into these players in professional sports. So they do everything possible to protect these players, but at the same time, these players have to make a correct decision, and these executives also have to make the correct decision, because we always have an option. you know, and that's the way these organizations should look at it. You know, these players and executives always have an option. It's just a matter of which one you pick.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all make mistakes. We all have in our life, and we all will. But it's just when you involve other people's lives, you have to cut down on those mistakes. And that's just my personal opinion. But okay, enough with the executives. We're going to talk about my homeboy, my man, 100 grand, Matthew Stafford. Okay, well, I shouldn't call him my man 100 grand no more because he got a lot more money than that. But,
Couple mil.
I know. So, T. Wheel, let's go to you on this one, man. Do you like that extension or what? Because he paid.
My man, $76.5 million man. Yeah, I like it. I like it fine. And I'm going to tell you this. Right off the bat, I'm biased. I'm a homer. I love Matthew Stafford. And I'm comfortable with knowing that this opinion of mine, that I'm making a biased opinion. You know, I wish we could have locked him up for two more years, fine, because I think down the line, he has 5 years, $76.5 million right now. He's 25 years old. I think when he's 30, now we have to come to a decision, you know, do we give him another huge contract or do we let him go? Do we go part ways? I think it would have added those extra 2 years. Now at 32 years old, we would have more of an idea, okay, is he going downhill? Should we part ways? Or, hey, you know what? We want this guy to be, you know, the face of our franchise forever, you know. So I think we'll have a little bit more of an idea. But I guess I'm just a numbers guy. I guess that's why I'm thinking like that. So
I was waiting for some stats, man. I knew you was going to throw some stats out there.
No, you know, I'm 33 years old, and he's the best quarterback I've seen wear a Lions uniform since I've been living. You know, the reason I know I'm biased and I know is because if I took a sheet of paper, you know, with his name scratched off of it and took a look at the numbers, you know, the big game wins, not very many, his playoff record, his playoff wins, zero, then it's tough to say, okay, let's give this guy the same money as Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze. You know, he hasn't had the success of those guys or even the younger guys that are kind of like on this level, like a Flacco or Matt Ryan. I mean, those guys have playoff wins. Flacco's coming off of a Super Bowl win. So from that perspective, it seems like, you know, he may not deserve it. You know, when you go – but my thing is when we went through guys, Fine and Shane, I know y'all know this, guys like Rodney Pete, Andre Ware, Eric Kramer, Scott Mitchell, you know, John Kitna, Joey Harrington, Dan Orlovsky, Dante Culpepper, Jeff Garcia. It's
my
like,
stomach
you know
hurt.
What? Exactly. It's like give Stafford as much money as he wants. Back to Brink's truck up to his house and just unload all the money at his house. You know, and that's the way I feel, and I think that's the way most Lions fans feel. I mean, we had a rough go with this franchise, and I feel like he can get us to where we need to be. You know, he hasn't put up those big numbers yet as far as wins in the playoffs and things like that or those big game wins. But he put up some great individual numbers the last 2 years, and now he has to get those translated into wins for us.
Right, absolutely. And before I go to UC Rush, I want to say this. For the people that say, oh, he doesn't deserve Brady and Breeze's money, and this all you have to say to them, did any of those two quarterbacks come into a situation where their team went 0-16? Just say that to them, and I'm pretty sure they will change that whole thought process. But C. Rush, we'll go to you. What you think about this one?
I love it. I mean, I love it. Like T. Will stole my thunder because in my lifetime, we've had some terrible, terrible quarterback, just inconsistent, just bad, just running out the back of the end zone bad. I mean, it's,
hey, that was,
and that's type of, and we talking about just making him a face of a franchise. We haven't had a franchise quarterback, mind you. Franchise quarterbacks don't hit the open market. Did Eli hit the open market? No. Did Rodgers hit the open market? No. Did Brady hit the open market? No. You know, the only time you'll see a franchise quarterback hit the open market is Drew Brees ripped his rotator cuff off, and he hit the open market. Oh, okay, that's once every blue moon. You know, Peyton, neck was falling apart. He hit the open market. You know, it's very rare that you find a franchise quarterback. You know, teams throw the season to get a franchise quarterback. It's a reason that the quarterback is the number one position in the NFL right now. You know, if it was so easy to get a franchise quarterback, everybody would have one. Everybody scoring free agency. You can't get one. So when you get one, you have to lock him up. I mean, he's 25 years old. We have Calvin Johnson, who's arguably the best wide receiver in the game. You know, we have a young defense, a young defensive line with Sue and Fairley. And I want to see us grow as a team. You know, what's wrong with locking him up for the next 5 years? Yes, I wish it could be more so we can get him at that 32 clip. But, you know, I love it. I could care less. Pay him whatever he wants, because you know why? What do we have to go back on? What's our other option?
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's nothing.
I agree. Here's my thing. This wasn't even going to be a topic on the show, but I keep reading on the internet. People are asking, this is good? And Donovan McNabb is saying, he doesn't deserve that money. Look at the win-loss record. But like I said, you know, and I really, it hurts me to talk about this, because I act like this didn't happen. But we went 0-16. I don't think people realize that. Parity is very high in the NFL. Parity is very high. You can't look at the playoffs and say, okay, these two teams going to the championship. You can't do that. In the NBA, yes, you could do that a little bit. NFL, you can't do that. So why would we even think about not extending Matthew Stafford? Like you guys said, we've had quarterbacks that weren't even NFL quarterbacks. We've had quarterbacks that wouldn't even start on any team. I mean, any team in the NFL but ours. And we're supposed to say, hey, let's look at this guy's playoff record. He's won zero games. I can't even believe that this is a topic. But T-Wheel, let's talk about this. Since he's been here, the defense hasn't been that great. The run game has been super inconsistent. And he's still been able to kind of pick defenses apart with defenses knowing, like, hey, they got to pass it because they don't have a running back there. Now, we got Reggie Bush. We got some other things working out this year. I think Matthew Stafford can be even better if the defense improves. We're not always playing from behind, and we have a little bit of a running game.
I totally agree, Fon. I 100% agree. You have to understand, last year, Matthew Stafford was, 33 yards short of 5,000 in passing. He had Calvin Johnson and who else? I would have to go look up their roster to find another receiver on their roster. I really don't know. You know, Burleson was hurt. I mean, they had some cats lining up that I don't know if they were playing like semi-pro and just came and rolled up on Sunday. I don't know. So that's an accomplishment within itself, Fon. And I think personally, once our team gets better, Fon, you talked about our defense. Once our defense gets better, once we even if we don't run the ball as much, if we do some things to supplement the run, like maybe some swing passes or still get Reggie Bush some touches, you know, I think that what will end up happening is, fine, we'll become more like a balanced team. You'll see Matthew Stafford, his individual numbers, those passing yards, they'll decrease. They'll go down, but the wins will also go up.
No, I agree. We all love this extension. You know, like I said, I thought it was, you know, a no-brainer when I saw it, but then I started reading and the negativity and the hate towards this man, C-Rush. And C-Rush, I get that it's about wins and losses, but when is it about your actual body of work?
I mean, people are jaded by, the playoff games. Well, he took us to the playoffs. If you take us to the playoffs and they have three in a box and they're dropping eight, and you're still throwing 5,000 yards? Come on, man. I mean, you got to just take it. It's the eyeball test. I mean, you can look at stats all you want to, but I got to look at it. He's keeping us in games. He's winning games. He's throwing the ball 50 times a game. Never before in our lifetime have we seen a Lions quarterback or any quarterback have to do this. He has to do this for us. You know, I mean, what did we average last year? Maybe 84 yards rushing? I mean, come on, dude. It's crazy. Like, and people are trying to say he's not justified to have this contract. You know, I don't want to throw stones at Donovan McNabb, but if you want to go by playoff wins and this and that, he didn't win the big game either. He was throwing up in the huddle. So, you know, it's don't compare your career to somebody else. Just I like to build people up. You know, he deserves it. In my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like I said, I mean, we went 0-16 in 2008. I know last year we should have done better, but I don't put that on Matthew Stafford. Defense has to get better. We got to be a little bit more diverse on offense to have a chance. to win more games, and I think we will be this year. Well, all right, fellas, I got to be honest with you. I haven't had you two guys on the show together in about a month and a half, so I don't know who. So I don't know who turn it is to go first.
That's definitely mine. I got you. No, seriously.
Because I meant to ask you guys in the green room, but my fault. So T Will.
But I would extend it to you, Shane, if you want to go first.
It's all yours.
Cool. Let's get it.
All right. Let's get up into this freestyle. We at the halfway point. So we gonna start a little baseball on this question. Ian Desmond is a shortstop for the Nats. And the other day he shaved his beard during the game somewhere between the first and the third inning, T Wheel. So we'll start with you. Thumbs up if you're okay with that, or thumbs down if you're like, you know, you need to shave after the game or before the game.
Well, to the people that are around baseball or have played post-high school, they know that a lot of weird stuff goes on in between innings in college and on a professional level. So realistically, fine, that's nothing unusual. So I forget, was it thumbs up or down, but I agree with Ian Desmond has done. It was publicity because someone caught it, thought it was funny, it got on TV. But I'm going to tell you right now, it happens more times than not. You know, there are more weird things that goes on. I mean, people catch Manny Ramirez going to the bathroom, you know, in between. Well, he wasn't even in between innings. He was in between batters. So, but there's tons of weird stuff that goes on in between innings. Sometimes people go back down in the locker room and take showers and things like that. So, to the baseball guys, it's actually normal.
Man, I mean, how boring and how slow is the game when you're doing all of this during the game? See, Rush, I'll just throw it to you. T-Wheel says thumbs up. He doesn't mind it. But, I mean, thumbs up or thumbs down, C-Rush?
Thumbs down. I mean, I'm all for, I understand the baseball lore of superstition and everything, but you already started the game, man. Just shave it afterwards. If you went 0 for 1, don't think that shaving your beard or lining it up going to change your next at bat. So, I mean, it's a time and a place for it, and you got to worry about somebody's focus level. They run into the back. I know people that do a lot of stuff, but you run into in the locker room, shaving and coming back out. I mean, it's goofy in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think you actually helped T cause out a little bit there is superstition, and I think that's why he did it. Maybe he didn't play well in the first inning. He said, you know what? It's because of my beard. Let me shave this thing off. So, I mean, like T. Will said, these guys do a lot of weird things. I mean, is the game really, is it that boring and that slow? But that's another topic. But I got to agree with T. Will, and I got to say thumbs up, man. I mean, if the game is going that slow, why not go shave it? If you're superstitious, maybe he played better. I don't know. So I got to go thumbs up as well. So, C. Rush, we'll jump to you on this one. Your boy Ice Cube, yay, yay, was at a concert, man, and he let everybody know. Kobe gonna win a ring before Dwight Howard does. So thumbs up if you agree with that.
Thumbs down. Now, who's starting at the three for the Lakers? Ice Cube. We don't know about Ice Cube. All right, see, don't nobody know. You know, and it's, you gotta stop living in the past. You know, yeah, only time Kobe gonna win a ring before Dwight Howard is on 2K14. I mean, this roster is old. They don't want the coach. Kobe coming off Achilles surgery. So no, just the way the roster's set up, the Lakers don't even like a playoff team right now. So they think Nick Young will come in and be the savior and help Kobe out. No, Kobe got 2 years left and then it'll be over.
All right, T-Will, let's go to the Players Club on this one. See, Rush say thumbs down. What you think about Ice Cube?
I have to go thumbs up, man. Cube haven't been around this many years for making bold predictions. So I have to go thumbs up. I have to agree with Cube. First off, guys, the Black Mamba, okay? He strikes when everybody thinks he's down. He's had this Achilles tear, this, that, and the other, you know. So he probably hasn't slept since he tore his Achilles, which has been a few months. You know, he wants to get this thing back in shape, get it reattached, rehab it, you know, and hit the court. And I'm telling you guys, you all know how Kobe is. When he is focused on doing something, he gets it done. And possibly, if he can't win it this year, Now we're talking about the free agency period of 2014. So now you're talking about getting some studs to come on to the Lakers with Kobe and to win a ring. And will Dwight win a ring within the next 2 years? Absolutely not.
Yeah, yay. I gotta go. I gotta agree with C. Rush on this one. I mean, I don't even know what the Lakers are doing. I have no idea. And he made a Dan Gilbert statement. Yeah, and that's all that was. But hey, that's his team. So hey,
Who's coming to play with Kobe?
I don't know. But all right. So let's go to the tiebreaker here. Let's bounce. This is an interesting one, and I can't wait to hear what you guys say on this one. Barrett Green is a former NFL player. He had a career-ending injury in 2004. He is now suing the Washington Redskins and coach Greg Williams. Now, as we know, for those of you who don't know, Greg Williams was a part of Bounty Gate with the Saints, and he was a part of all that. So Barrett Green is claiming that his injury was a clear cheap shot, and the injury was part of a bounty program. And this ended his career, T-Wheel, in 2004. Now, thumbs up if you think this guy is going to win this case or settle for some money, or thumbs down if you think the judge is going to throw that thing right out.
I have to go thumbs up, fine. The way that the NFL, I think the NFL, the way they handled this bounty program, I think their case helps Mr. Green out even more. You know, the way they handled it with the players and Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator for the Saints, you know, I really and truly believe, worst case scenario, they'll get him to settle just to be quiet, okay? But depending on what lawyers he get, if he gets some guys that are some animals and really want to go after this thing, I really do think at this day and age, especially what's going on with the concussions to these retired players and the studies that they're doing now, I think it's a lot of negative energy, a lot of negative impact in the NFL right now. I really do think that if he is serious about pursuing this and getting some money, that he'll definitely get some money. Yes, thumbs up.
C. Rush, or should I call you Judge Rush? What you doing with this case?
I'm going to have to go thumbs down with this one. In the NFL, in any sport, it's always going to be cheap shots. You never know what's said in the trenches. You never know what's said on the court. You never know what's said between batter and pitcher. I could throw the ball at a batter because he may have said something to me. So just because another element was going on surrounding it, you never know what was happening within the line, within between those lines. You know, they could have been bickering back and forth. And he could have clipped him low. Now, was it a direct indication on, let's take this guy out? We don't know. So if you can't prove it, how should we know? It's been times playing all kinds of sports that people have gotten undercut, elbowed, had nothing to do with a bounty or anything. It's because, you know what, I want to take that guy out just because he said something I didn't like. So thumbs down.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about that, though, C. Rush. I would agree with you if Bounty Gate didn't happen. I would also agree with you if that person actually played that side of the ball. From what I read and understand about this situation is the gentleman didn't even play that side of the ball. He came in to hurt this gentleman. That's what Green is saying. He didn't even play that side of the ball. So, I mean, his reputation, C. Rush, it definitely precedes him. So he's been shown to want to get players injured. He's been shown that. So I got to agree with T. Will on this one, and T. Will wins the freestyle today.
I want to give a shout out to everybody. Yes, sir.
Did you just say shout out to everybody?
Absolutely.
I thought you was going to start freestyling for real there.
I was about to, but I was about to rip that. I was about to spit on that beat, son. Spit on the beat, son.
All right. Let's get right back into it. You know, here at the Wilson Rush Podcast, we love some NBA drama off season. So, C. Rush, we'll jump right back to you and talk about Andrew Bynum. And I was wrong about this, C. Rush. I'll be honest right off the bat. I thought Andrew Bynum was going to force his hand and force somebody to give him a lot of money. The Cleveland Cavs said, we only guaranteeing $6 million of this contract. So if he's healthy, C. Rush, how good can this team be?
If he's healthy, they're already better than the Bulls, in my opinion.
Ooh.
Yes. I mean, and and I got to look at the lineup. You know, granted, Derrick Rose, phenomenal player. How is he going to come back? The Cavs have Kyrie Irving, who was on the cusp of becoming an elite point, not only point guard, an elite player in the NBA. And then you, if Andrew Bynum comes back healthy, that's the question is, if he comes back healthy, he's a top three center in the NBA. If he comes back healthy, he's a top three center. You play him next to Tristan Thompson, you got Anthony Bennett, you got Zeller coming off the bench. They have a pretty good team. You know, they won't be the doormats of the East anymore, you know, because if it's all going to be if he's healthy, though, you know. So I really do think that they're going to take steps above certain people. By top to bottom, they would win the Central. Would they compete with the Heat? You know, that I don't think anybody can compete with the Heat, but they could push them a little bit. They won't be better than Indiana, but I believe they'll be better than Chicago in that division. But I think that they're doing a lot of positive stuff if he comes back healthy. And I like the fact that they didn't overpay him, and they have an option for year two, depending upon how he comes out and how he comes back. That's the smart thing that the general manager in Cleveland has done. So I like the move for them, actually. It's a good power move for them.
It's a great move. But T, are you nervous about this like I am? Because I think the Pistons got a chance to make the playoffs here. Now you see another team add another piece, you go, wow, if this guy's healthy, they're better than us.
Well, I mean, yes, they definitely would be better than the Pistons if Bynum come back healthy. Shane hit on a couple good points. He spoke on their front court players, you know, with Anthony Bennett being drafted, Tristan Thompson and Zeller. But Shane, I think you missed the most important front court player, and that's Anderson Varejao. Because I'm going to tell you right now, he is a madman on that glass. It is like that is his mission in life, just to hit the glass. So you put him with next to a respectable post player, if you get a healthy Bynum back, man, the league better look out. The league just better look out. So I think if Bynum does come back and he's 100% healthy, guys, or if he's in the same shape or type of player that he was that All-Star season that he had in L.A., then I really think, like, the East is back, guys. I mean, understand this, guys. I'm an Eastern Conference NFC American League guy. You know, I'm just an East guy. So I love when the best teams are coming out of the East, because the West has had it locked up for a few years. You know, and you look at what you can combine them with. I mean, I just think it's a big problem for opposing teams if Bynum is healthy. I mean, they'll have a respectable post player and defender, you know, added to their front line. It just helps them in all major basketball areas. Plus, he's a big man that's a true big man. And it's not a lot of them in the NBA right now, guys. So I think the Cleveland Cavaliers jump over a lot of teams, guys, a lot of teams.
Yeah. I agree, and I know a lot of people don't like Mike Brown. I know that, but you can't deny that Andrew Bynum had his best season as a pro under Mike Brown, and they will be reunited. And see, you bring up some good points about the power shifting to the East, because here's my thing about the Miami Heat. Yeah, they're back-to-back champs, T-Will. We can't deny that. But if you look at Dwayne Wade, I don't think Dwayne Wade could have played if the East was really tough, T. Will. I don't think he could have played hard from the start to the finish of the playoffs. If you look at the Heat, T. Will, they only played two playoff series. If Andrew Bynum is healthy, Derrick Rose is healthy, John Wall, that's another team that no one talks about, that they played pretty well when he came back. T. Will, if the Miami Heat has to play from start to finish of the playoffs with a Dwayne Wade with a bad knee, can they get back to the finals?
No, not with a Dwayne Wade with a bad knee. Because if they do gut out some series, guys, they're going to have a juggernaut waiting for them in the next round. You know, and they just won't be able to pull it out through an injury like that to a key player. I mean, Dwayne Wade's a huge player. He has a huge role on that team. You know, LeBron, he can't do it himself. I mean, Chris Bosh. I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't really want to discuss him. I don't know where he's at most of the time. But no, fine, I really don't. And I think if you look at it, you look at the teams like the New Jersey Nets who bumped up. You know, you look at a Cleveland Cavalier who can possibly bump up if they're as good as expected to be. I mean, some of those middle of the road teams, fine. Now they're going to be your 6, 7, and 8 seed.
Exactly.
So now that first round is going to be. I couldn't even watch the first round this year. I mean, it was bad, man. It was just bad basketball. So now you're talking about your first round being maybe some first round games going to 6 or 7 games, and then that second round being even more interesting. And it's going to be a tougher road, and that's what I'm used to in the Eastern Conference. And let's look on the flip side of that, Fon. If Bynum turns out to be, you know, a bust and can't return to that form, I mean, then he only has $6 million invested in him over 2 years. So, Dan Gilbert, I don't think they'll be losing out on too much.
So, see, Rush, we're going to talk about this. Now, I've said this ever since LeBron James left Cleveland, and everybody thought I was crazy. I said, LeBron James, when this contract is over, he's going back to Cleveland because he will have multiple championships. And I said that on the day of the decision, and everybody said, oh, look what Dan Gilbert's saying the next day. You're wrong. Here's my thing, C. Rush, that people don't understand. LeBron James does not care. Now, this is my opinion, so I want to make this clear. This is my opinion. LeBron James does not care what Dan Gilbert said. LeBron James is smart enough to know that Dan Gilbert was pissed off. And he had every right to be pissed off. But here's my thing, C. Rush, very simple. He doesn't care about any of that. There's no way this man can retire, in my opinion, and not have his jersey retired in Cleveland. That is where he's from. Mike Brown is back. This roster's better. And if you put LeBron James on Cleveland right now, in my opinion, they're 10 times better than the Miami Heat team that he's on right now. So, C. Rush, Am I still wrong? Do you think he's going there? You think he's going to L.A.? What you think about this?
You're not all the way wrong. I just I don't believe he'll go to L.A. He has two options, Miami or Cleveland. Look at this roster. If you just drop him in there right now, they win the East. They win a championship. If Bynum is 70 and up, you know, this is setting up to be a heck of a summer next year. You know, and looking at these teams, you know, right now they're already, I can't say in contention, but they're a playoff team right now. You got Indiana, you got Brooklyn, you got a Chicago team who is getting older, but you know, I think they're going to take a step back. You got New York, they got Bargnani and they got J.R. Smith back. You know, the East, it's a power shift going on, I believe, like T. Will said. I believe the East is that pendulum has swung to the East, and I believe the East is the more dominant conference right now, just with all the signings that are happening right now. You know, it's not too many power teams in the West that you can say, wow, it's going to be tough for them to get out. You know, we can pretty much look at it and say, okay, let's look at the top couple teams and, you know, all right. But the East is tough, you know, and it's setting up to be a heck of a summer next year.
Now, T. Will, I want to throw the same question to you, but before I do, I want to say this. See, Rush, I disagree with this. If you take Andrew Bynum off, I still think they're better than the Miami Heat. Tristan Thompson, Anthony Bennett, Varejao, they rebound the ball better for sure. And that's Miami Heat's weakness. That's why people keep always calling me and say, oh, the Miami Heat is going to sweep this series. They're going, listen, it's one simple fact about basketball. You cannot continue to get out-rebounded by double digits, and you cannot continue to get killed through points in the paint and sweep somebody. All these
Are you saying?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Are you saying Miami Heat the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron or without?
Oh, no, with LeBron. You said
they
win the East, but what I'm saying is I think right now if you put LeBron on that team without Andrew Bynum, I think they're still better than that team. I'm telling you, all the Heat fans, they're going to sweep. No, they're not going to sweep this series. They're going to get killed on the glass when they play a true 4 and 5, and they're going to get killed by points in the paint. The series is going to go 6 at the least, possibly even 7. But T. Will, let's throw that back to you. I mean, everybody looked at me like I was crazy, but I really do believe, T. Will, that it's two things that's important to LeBron James, in my opinion. Championships and having his number retired in Cleveland.
Well, it's tough to argue with you on that one, Fine. I mean, I really do agree. You said LeBron James will forgive Dan Gilbert for all the things that he said. I'll take it a step further, Fine. Dan Gilbert will forgive LeBron James for leaving him high and dry. And he'll get that, and he'll get that that sign right back up on the side of the Quicken, that witness sign with LeBron, you know, and it'd be like an ex-boyfriend and an ex-girlfriend with a horrible breakup. You see him a few years later, and then it's like, okay, we are about to get after it right now. I mean, it. Hey, I can definitely see it happening in these days. Fine, nothing with LeBron really surprises me anymore. I just had a question. I mean, real quick. I mean, Shane, you said you think the Bulls are getting older, and you think they're gonna take a step back this year?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, they dumped their oldest player on Rip Hamilton. They got rid of him, and then they're getting Derrick Rose back. And you think they're taking a step back?
I just think that Carlos Boozer, you know, how is the wear and tear going to be on him? You know, that they brought back another old player too, and Nazi Muhammad. Yeah, they got rid of Rip, but they brought back Nazi. So I just don't think that they're going to get any better. They're not going to re-sign Nate Robinson. Is looking like they lost Marco Bellinelli, who was their go-to guy in the playoffs. So I'm not sure what their overall plan is. You know, I don't know what else they have cooking in free agency. So as of right now, as it looks, they've taken a step back.
Let me get in there for a second, T. Will. This is what I want to say. I agree with this, C. Rush. I agree that if Bynum is healthy, I think they're better than the Bulls too. But I don't think the Bulls are taking a step back when they get an MVP in Derrick Rose, which he is healthy now, C. Rush.
Which, you know, do we know?
No, but on a serious note, I don't think they're getting older. I don't think they're taking a step back. But if Andrew Bynum is healthy, I do agree that they're better than the Bulls. But T. Will, go ahead and finish up.
No, I was just saying, like, with the Nazi Muhammad, he's not going to have an impact on that team one way or the other. They just signed him for depth. I mean, any team that Nazi Muhammad signed to, they're just signing him for depth. That is it. Just to carry another 7-footer. So he won't have an impact ever again in his life in the NBA.
I don't think so either. But so let's move on and let's talk about our Detroit Pistons. But T. Will, before we get into this, this topic of, we just want to give a letter grade and the reason why we give our letter grade for the offseason that our Detroit Pistons have had. I want to address something right here, right now. I've been reading on Facebook, Twitter, that everyone said, oh my goodness, what is Joe Dumars doing? He's bringing Chauncey Billups back. Every time an NBA team brings back someone that played well in their prime, they bring them back. The fans, for some reason, think that, okay, we're taking a step back. We're trying to turn back the clock. No, that's not what Joe Dumars is doing. He got them for cheap, and he is going to help mold our guards. It's not 2000, between 2000 and 2004. Relax, Detroit fans. He's not going to play 38 minutes. It's not about that, okay? So I just want to clear that up because I've been reading, like, oh, my goodness, is he going to sign Rip Hamilton back now? No, guys. This has nothing to do with that. If Chauncey Billups never played here before, everyone would just say, okay, he's here to help mold our guards. But now we're thinking Joe Dumars is trying to set the clock back. So I just wanted to go out and get that out the way because that is not true at all. I like that pickup. I really do. I think Brandon Knight and these other guards can really learn from Chauncey Billups. I really do believe that. But T. Will, we'll start with you. Give us your letter grade for the offseason that the Pistons have had.
Great segue, my brother. Okay, I was going to give him a C, fine, but with the additions of Rasheed Wallace to our coaching staff and Chauncey to mentor our young point guards, man, I have to go with a B. And I'm going to start with the second-round picks were solid this year. I mean, they were. And I can't overlook that we passed Trey Burke in the draft, and we didn't, in my opinion, go overpay the right guy in free agency. You know, with this young team, I think people overlook the importance of Wallace and Billups signing. You know, Wallace may not have had the best of reputations on the court, but he has a wealth of knowledge and experience, man, that he can and will translate to our young front court players. You know, I watched him the other day coaching in the Pistons Summer League game, and he was coaching up the whole entire game. You can tell that he has a passion for this, that he has something inside of him that he's trying to give to these young players, and I love that. You know, I think he's going to be a great coach one day. And Billups, you know, he's coming in as a mentor to B-Knight, Siva, and Lucius, and all the other young point guards that we may have on our roster, you know. But what better role model, as you say, Fon? He's coming in to mentor these guys. I'm pretty sure before he signed his contract, that was understood between him and Joe. You know, we are an improved team, you know, as far as talent and our coaching staff, in my opinion, with Mo Cheeks and company, you know, but that grade can still go up in my book if we get rid of Charlie V and Max Seal. So we have a B now, but it can definitely hit B plus, A minus territory.
Yeah. See, Rush, got to go to you on this one, man. That Chauncey Billups thing, T. Willie. I mean, I've just been reading that and it's really bothered me how, you know, I know people don't understand the business and they have every right to be fans, and I get that, but if Chauncey Billups never played here, they would be like, oh, this is a great mentor coming in. But let's see Rush in. What you think, see Rush?
I'm gonna give this offseason so far a B+, and the Chauncey signing, like you all said, it does a lot for Brandon Knight. I mean, this you're learning from somebody who in his prime did it the best. So whether it's Siva, whether if he can get inside of Will Bynum's head, that's going to be a plus, because you know what? He's going to mold him and add some stuff to his game that and show him how to be a leader on the court. You know, that's what Chauncey was for us. So hopefully some of that rubs off. And I really like what I seen out of Rashid coaching up our big. He coached the whole team. I like the report that him and Tony Mitchell, our second round draft pick, had together. You know, that, and that's a kid who really impressed me. Very athletic. And you know, he, reading up on him, he was a kind of a head case coming out of college. So what other better head case to learn from than Rashid Wallace? So, you know, you got somebody who's been there, can show you the ins and outs and ways not to do stuff, you know. And let's not forget, Rashid was a great floor stretcher and had a great post game. So that can rub off on Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond as well. So I like what the front office is doing as far as that. Now the Josh Smith signing, I like it, because you know why? Who else are we going to get? Now we're signing the first free agent in our lifetime. A first name free agent in our lifetime. No matter if you like it or not, we got a free agent to come here. So now, you know what? It's going to open the door for other free agents to come here. You know, you got to start somewhere. So I believe that right now I'm going to give it a B+, because we can still grow. You know, granted, we did re-sign Will Bynum. I wish we could have got something more, but you know what? Hey, we did sign Luigi DeMonte from Italy, who was the MVP in their A-League, averaged 16 and 5. So, you know, hopefully he comes over here and his game translate into the NBA. But, you know, when you sign an MVP of a league, I don't care what league it is, you know, he has to do something positive. So I'm going to give it a B+, even though that guy is sight unseen for the most part. And I just like the upgrade that we have. It's a lot of momentum. It's more momentum going into this new season than I've seen in a long time.
And I did watch the MVP's highlight tape. He did have Kanye West playing in the background, so I'm guessing he's a cool guy. So that's all I can say about that. He can knock that three down. He dunked on a couple guys. But like I said, he must be a cool guy. He had Kanye playing in the background. But I got to give the Pistons a B as well. We can't overlook the fact that he passed on Trey Burke. That's why it's impossible to get an A unless Michael Jordan comes back and plays back in his prime. That's the only way he'll get an A from me, because he just completely overlooked Trey Burke. So I'll give it a B. But like I said, if you make a team, a playoff team that did not go to the playoffs the previous season, you got to be in the B range. I think our team is deeper. I think, like T-Wheel said, adding Sheed to the bench, even though he will get a lot of technical fouls from the assistant coach position, agreed 100% he will, but he will help this young front court. Chauncey Billups would help our young backcourt. And I really do think bringing in Jay Smoove, as T-Will like to call him, I believe bringing him in is going to attract someone else next year to put us over the top. That's the thing about the NBA. Sometimes I tell people this all the time. It's not even about stats. Sometimes it's just about names. Like T-Will said, CB4, Chris Bosh he's stealing from the league. He's stealing from the league. You look at the box score, it's unbelievable what he's doing. But he getting broke off something nasty. So It's about winning, and it's about names in the NBA. And I think Maurice Cheeks put a good staff together, and I think Joe Dumars has had and I know it saddens me to say this, he's had a solid offseason outside of not taking Trey Burke. Oh, man. So it's been a long one, fellas. See, Rush, you have a good one today, man.
I had a good one. It's good to have everybody back, man. It's good to have everybody back.
T-Wheel, how you feel, man?
I feel straight, man. I just don't feel like I'm finished with this piston thing, man.
You wanted me to go back to you on that? No, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Okay. Shane, I agree with you, man. She was a floor stretcher, but I don't want to see him helping Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond stretching no kind of floor. Now, with this Luigi guy, my thing is this, guys. When I haven't seen him and Joe signs him, I'm a little worried. Okay, I'm a little cautious, you know. So, and I don't roll with Jay Smooth. He's in Detroit now. His new nickname is Jay Gutter.
Okay. C-Rush, you want to add something back, man? My bad. I didn't bounce it back and forth. C-Rush,
hey,
you want to add something?
If he can, I don't want to see Drummond on stretching the floor. No, but I can see Greg Monroe doing it, and I think Rashid is really going to help Josh Smith game out, in all seriousness. I think that because Josh Smith right now is lost for a position, so I think he'll coach him up, because it takes a certain type of coach to coach certain type of players, you know. Whatever the head coach may not be able to relate to him, maybe he can translate it to him as well. So, you know, and as far as the Luigi, hey, I mean, hopefully he can knock some shots down. You know, I like what I've seen, and I heard the same Kanye West mixtape playing as well. So, you know.
T-Will, you good now, man, or what? You want some more or what?
Yeah, but yeah, I hope she'd help Jay Gutter in his game, man. But I'm gonna be honest, I don't know if Reggie Miller can fix that jump shot, man. But yeah, I'm done, guys. Hey, great show, man. Great show, guys. I loved it.
All right, so I just want to say thank you guys for listening. We made it up all the way to 7th on the Podomatic website. You can search us on iTunes. We tweet out the links. We appreciate you guys giving us feedback, but we were really, and I really do mean this, we would really like to interact with you guys more. Send us an email. We will answer them. We will bring up topics that you want us to talk about, especially now before football really gets going. If you want us to hit some topics, we would love to do that for you. WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. And I hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. We always represent 7 Mile, and we out. DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. Like the Wilson Rush Podcast. Like with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lil, Vaughn Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 Mile. Rap City, your world. DJ Clips, we the best, the chemist music crew.